Now, today's sermon is a bit different. I'm going to begin with a few stories. They've been designed to get you thinking. So I invite you to listen and then let your mind wander as the Spirit leads you. I will then follow up with a bit of a summary, something a little more didactic for those who want something more Presbyterian. It had been a tough week. They were behind on a construction project, and he didn't like to be late. So he asked his crew to extend their weekday hours, and he asked them to come in on Saturday. He was always the first and last to leave the job site. Doing the math, he realized he worked well over 80 hours this past week. But despite all the hard work, he still woke up early on Sunday morning. His aching muscles wouldn't let him sleep in. While everyone was sawing logs, he got up and turned on the coffee. Flipping through a pile of papers, he caught up on the past week's news. Half an hour later, his wife walked bleary-eyed into the kitchen. "Honey, you're up so early. You need more sleep," she whispered. He nodded, pointed to his back, and took another gulp of coffee. "Well, I think today should be a home day," she declared softly as she leaned over his chair and wrapped her arms around him. "The kids have had a busy week, too. I need to get some groceries. We can go to church next week." He nodded. She was right. They did need a break. But he knew the family calendar. They would be out of town for the next couple weekends. They wouldn't be at worship for a month. He took another cup of coffee, another gulp of that coffee, and she headed back to bed. And he picked up his phone, started scanning through the missed texts and emails. "This week is Holy Communion," an email from the church read. That notice caught his attention. He imagined what the service would be like that morning, the elders gathering up at the front and thimbles of grape juice and tiny crackers making their way up and down the aisles. And then the congregation responding together. "It is right to give God thanks and praise. It is right to give God thanks and praise." By now he could hear the shower running. He looked at his watch. They still had an hour to get to worship. So he headed down the hallway to wake the kids up. Grandma was doing her best to hold things together. In only a few days, their greatest hopes had turned into their worst nightmare. Her daughter's newborn, her first grandchild, was in isolation in the intensive care unit. That frail little body was surrounded by machines and invaded by tubes as the doctors struggled to keep her alive. The baby's mom was a mess, still recovering from the C-section. She hadn't slept and was barely eating. But that poor baby. The doctors, while they had done their best, it was now just a waiting game. Would her little body rally and kick the infection? The somber look on the faces of the staff told them that there was, little hope. That evening, as the baby's temperature soared and her breathing slowed, the hospital chaplain stopped in to see them. After listening to their story, she asked, "Can I pray with you?" Grandma and daughter chimed in together. "Yes, you bet, of course. Please do." "Gracious Lord," she began, "give strength to baby Elizabeth. Guide her doctors and nurses. Be with her mom and her grandma. Strengthen them and encourage them, we pray, for we ask this in Jesus' name." And with the amen, this prayer was added to the endless stream of prayers muttered by mom and by grandma. Floating up to heaven, this prayer joined the swirling mass of prayers offered by family, friends, and neighbors. After the chaplain left, they were both exhausted. Grandma leaned back into her chair and fell asleep. The next thing she knew, though, was that light was streaming through the dark, previously dark windows. It was suddenly morning. Her daughter was shaking her, and a big smile was on her face. "The fever's broken. The doctors have no idea what happened. Elizabeth opened her eyes this morning," her daughter declared. They burst into tears and hugged each other tightly. With joy in her heart, Grandma repeated softly, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." The two couples were together Sunday night for dinner. As per usual, they gossiped about their respective churches, the good, the bad, and the ugly. As per usual, they ended up talking about worship. One couple was part of a praise band. He played guitar, and she helped with the vocals. The other couple sang in the church's choir. That choir put on special music at Christmas and Easter. The rest of the year, they taught the congregation new hymns. While the couples had different preferences when it came to worship style, they all agreed that worship was important, that it was the center of their faith. Keith, the husband who played the guitar in the church band, said, "Some think it's the power of music. But I've played in various bands over the years, and it's not just that we're making music, but that we're praising God." His wife, Helen, agreed with him. "You know how many jobs I've had over the years, all the different types of work I've done, secretary, cashier, small business owner. I've done a lot of things over the years, but there's something about worshiping God, whether at church or just out singing in the garden, that just fills me and gives me peace. It just feels like home." And Keith added, "There's something about worshiping God together. I mean, young and old, people singing harmony and people singing off key. It just feels right." They all nodded. And then it was quiet for a moment. And then Helen started humming this old gospel tune. One by one, the others joined in with her. Soon they were all singing loudly. That mini worship service around the dinner table went on for over half an hour. Three stories that gather around the topic of worship. And now three points connected to Psalm 150. First of all, worship is commanded. We sometimes think that for followers of Jesus, worship is, well, optional. Something we do when we have the time or inclination, when everything lines up just right. But when Jesus was asked what was the first and best thing we should be doing, his response was this: "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." So that we couldn't evade this calling by putting off today what could always be done tomorrow, a special day was established to keep God first. Remember the fourth commandment? Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now, our psalmist is much more invitational than demanding, and I'm happy for this because I'm about to go on 5 weeks of vacation, and you know, how is church going to fit into all of this? Our psalmist is much more invitational than demanding, but I think we can also hear in his call a command. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Worship is commanded. And worship is our grateful response. Most of us know what it's like to come face to face with disaster, and many of us know what it's like to be pulled back from the edge of the cliff. In faith, we ask for help, and when God delivers, we want, we need to express our gratitude. In his letter to the church at Colossae, Paul encourages the community, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. The psalmist commends us today to praise the Lord. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Worship provides us this opportunity to show gratitude for all that God has done for us. Worship is commanded. Worship is our grateful response, and worship is our best end. Does joining into worship ever feel just right for you? Does praising God with hymns or choruses ever feel for you, well, like home? The shorter catechism of the Westminster Confession of Faith invites us to consider our final end and our greatest purpose. What is the chief and highest end of humanity? To graduate magna cum laude? To marry well and raise a good family? To find a good job and build a house on the hill? No. It, according to the Westminster Confession of Faith, is to glorify God and fully enjoy God forever. Our more recent confession of faith, Living Faith, teaches us that, and this is a quote, "We have no higher calling than to offer the worship that belongs to God day by day, Sunday by Sunday. All to say that of all the things that are on your schedule this coming week, what you're doing right now is the most important." Now, once again, our psalmist is a little more soft-spoken. The psalmist doesn't try to teach us or persuade us in Psalm 150, but simply calls us all together, earth and heaven, musician and dancer, human and non-human, to praise our Creator. So, whatever the reason for your presence here this morning, whether it's out of obedience or gratitude or a realization that this is the best thing that you can be doing, or honestly, simply because the person sitting next to you drug you out, praise the Lord. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.